Joining me now on the line is a very good friend of the program, Palm Beach County resident Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World magazine. You also see him all over the place each and every week on both Golf Channel and on NBC Weeks. And, of course, U.S. Open is an NBC Week on the Peacock as well. Tim, good morning to you. And I guess I should say, do you have your rain jacket on and your galoshes and all that stuff? Because it's wet up there in Bethpage.
Hey, Russ, I'm just trying to get as much FaceTime as Al Roker, I guess. Because this has been, that's all you need to know. When you got the NBC's weatherman on, maybe as much as Tiger Woods yesterday, it tells you something about what the story of the week has been, and it continues to be the story of the week. It's been hard to get a read on, you know, who the first round leader is, who the second round leader is. We're just kind of going by days here, not rounds.
The weather is the biggest story this week, unfortunately, and coming off a year when we had such a phenomenal U.S. Open 1 year ago at Torrey Pines, the Monday playoff between Rocco and Tiger, I had a feeling that it was going to be tough for this U.S. Open to live up to the hype of what we saw last year. It was almost going to be somewhat of a letdown. I think the weather has kind of turned that to be the case, and we're seeing a huge discrepancy here. 60 players making the cut, 60% of those players, 36 coming from that Thursday afternoon wave, which meant they played no golf on Thursday, only 40%, 24 of those players coming from that Thursday morning wave. It's unfortunate that we're seeing such an advantage for half of the field. The more unfortunate thing about that is there's really nothing the USGA can do about it.
Yeah, I know Wall Street's not doing great right now, but if I was going to buy stock, it would be in Waterhog and Squeegee as much as anything else, and it continues to be the story today, Russ. You know, the 18th fairway here is basically a swamp, or what used to be a swamp that was filled in. So they have pressing issues. They've had issues there since Wednesday or Thursday this week, and there's really no place to pump the water at this point. This place took a real beating last night. If there was some luck involved in last night, we might have been out of here tonight, but that storm dumped too much rain. USGA is doing the best they can. The controversy was over whether or not to play lift clean in place. The mud balls that you hear Tiger obsessed with, you know, in terms of making comments, you know, he seems like the mud ball's in his head more than anybody. But if you look at it, and Bob Rotella was explaining to me earlier this week, the hardest thing he's got to do is get his guys to commit to a mud ball, which our listeners don't grasp it, or maybe they do because they're golfers. But basically, you know, mud cakes up on a golf ball when it plugs out in these fairways, and there's no control over the golf ball other than if the mud's on the right side of the ball, it's going to go left, and the mud's on the left side of the ball goes right. I guess that means if the mud's on the top of the ball, it's going to go underground. But you get the point, Russ. That's just one of the extra elements that's added to the factor of trying to keep your hands dry, trying to keep your body dry, trying to keep your senses about you. Long waits while they squeegee greens, two and three groups at a time. It's just kind of a mess up here. But that's why I thought Tiger was going to be more of a factor, to tell you the truth, because I thought his toughness and patience levels and having won 14 majors was going to carry him through. Maybe he makes a move today and gets back in the picture, but he's 11 shots back. And,
right.
I don't think this is going to be his week.
He's got 35 holes left. He has played the first hole on his third round. Actually, it was the 10th hole. He went off number 10, made a par there yesterday. So he's got 17 holes left on his third round, and then, of course, all 18 on his final round, whenever that is, either later today or Monday, or perhaps, God forbid, if we get more rain up there Tuesday. But let's take a look at the top of the leaderboard. Despite the crappy conditions, we're still seeing really low scores. In fact, we're seeing a 36-hole U.S. Open record, 8 under par, 132 from Ricky Barnes, 28-year-old PGA Tour rookie, former U.S. amateur champion. Lucas Glover and Mike Weir, second and third on the leaderboard, each have a 6 under par round of 64 on their week. So we're still seeing some low scores out there, but of the top 11 players on the leaderboard, going all the way down to the minus twos, only Lee Westwood, among the top 11, came from that Thursday morning wave.
Well, talking to Mike Davis, you know, the USGA guy, there's obviously a big discrepancy in the draw this time around, but what are you going to do? I mean, it's just part of the game of golf. Tiger was in the bad side of the draw, and but he's got the good side of the draw a bunch of times, especially back in the early part of this decade, or century now, where he rolled off, what, three straight at one point, four straight at one point. He was definitely on the upside of the draw this week. He was on the downside of the draw. The best thing Ricky Barnes, getting back to him, may have done is finished at 8, because it with the 10-shot rule, we only have 60 players here to get around the golf course these next 2 days or whenever. So that's a big thing. And Barnes, you know, benefactor of the draw, no doubt about it, but he took advantage of it. I mean, the one window that Tiger had to make something happen was early Friday morning, when it was nice out here, and he finished, he dropped four shots in the last four holes. That stretch probably will cost him. Put him at 7 now instead of 11. It's a big difference. But Barnes is just taking advantage of the conditions and also some confidence. He's obviously a great looking athlete. Didn't used to be like that. They used to call him the Chunkalator. He was 5'8", 220 pounds, not 6'2", 205. We've been waiting on him for a while. He's had a very athletic and unorthodox swing, but he got away with it in the amateur level because he was such a competitor and athlete. And you get out here, though, and you got to have it together, and he really didn't. He's gone to see Dean Reinmuth, Mickelson's instructor, when Phil was a youngster, a junior player, and through his 20s. They seem to be clicking with Reinmuth, and while he hasn't done much this year, he's the type of kid who might not be intimidated, especially without too much big-time heat on him. I guess Mike Weir would be considered the best player on that leaderboard, and he hasn't won in, 4 years, whatever it is?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So that's going to be, an advantage for Barnes, unless somebody makes a move that's got some star power throughout the course of this third 18.
Yeah, Ricky playing awfully well. He's got his older brother on the bag, and he looks, at least through two rounds of play, he looks like the most solid player tee to green. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and we're joined on the line by Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, also contributes very heavily to both NBC and the Golf Channel, and you can see him all week long. Let's talk a little bit about Phil, because I'm awfully impressed with his 69-70, one under par, 139 through two rounds of play, tied for 12th. Obviously, he was one of the two biggest stories coming in, he and Tiger, for much different reasons. Wife Amy has breast cancer. The treatment is going to start in a couple of weeks. They're going on a family trip tomorrow, and I think they're going to have to probably push that back because we're going to be into tomorrow with golf. But, he's played very well this week.
Very classy performance by Phil, considering what's going on in his head and at home. And if you saw last week, Russ, you could just tell the brave face that was on down at Memphis. But this week, He's been smiling, he's been a little bit lighter. The fans have picked him up. He's been obviously touched by that, and he's given it back. He's as I said with Bob yesterday, he's given it to full Arnold Palmer. He's given it the thumbs up. He's making eye contact. Somebody yells to him. He just doesn't put the cold shoulder to him. He turns around. He looks at him. They smile. He gives them what they're wanting, and as a result of that, he's been embraced, and it goes back. The relationship, as we know, to Beth Page in 2002, really, which was really Phil's breakout moment as it relates to being not just a golfer, but some sort of an international figure as it relates to representing the game. And very classy. He's had some moments where he's dropped, made a couple doubles here and there. Butch Harmon said before the tournament it would be hard for him to focus on it for 72 holes. But, here he is. If Barnes and Glover back up a couple and Phil makes something happen and gets around 69 or 66, we got a ball game, and we got a storyline. And if Phil gets that kind of traction in this mud, he's going to be a factor.
I think so too, Tim. And as you mentioned with Costas yesterday, he's a fan favorite. He's getting the cat calls from the fans. Yo, Phil, you're looking svelte. So he's definitely one of the fan favorites up there. Even though he's not a Northeastern guy, he's a kid from California, and he went to school in Arizona, but he's one of the favorites up there, no doubt. Last thing for you, Tim, before I let you go, David Duval, former number one player in the world. Now he's ranked 882nd. In the past 6 years on the PGA Tour, he has missed 72 of 100 cuts, and he's got 8 missed cuts this year. 55th place, his best finish in the 4 tournaments where he did earn a check, and all of a sudden, he finds himself tied for 4th through 2 rounds of play at the U.S. Open. How amazing is this?
Yeah, Russ, 858, but he's close. You just got to keep remembering he's close. I mean, we've been hearing that out of David and Puggy Blackman, his coach, for 2 or 3 years now, but, maybe... Like Tiger, when he was telling us he was close, maybe he really is a little bit closer than everybody thought or based on the numbers he's producing. I don't know. Guys can do it on the range, and he's trying to take it to the golf course now. As Puggy did say, Puggy was his coach at Georgia Tech and now is his swing coach. He just needed to get his instincts back. And competitive instincts are, when you kind of fine-tune it and get it really right down there, that's maybe the last stage of it all in the recovery process. You get your swing back, but you got to get your confidence back. And once you get your confidence back, you get your instincts back. And that's maybe where he is. He's sort of been embraced kind of like Mickelson because of the New York sports fan know the storyline, and they're embracing the underdog. And he's given some back. He's wearing a couple of pins, if you notice, on his lapels, one the New York State Troopers gave to him. And from him just hanging around with the cops on the other side of the clubhouse the other day, and got this trooper bear head covered working. And also, his father-in-law is a firefighter for 30 years in Colorado, so he visited, and also a sculptor, and he visited the Fireman's Museum the other day, where his father-in-law's statue is on display, a statue of a fireman and a young child. So he's connecting here, behind the glasses, behind the, you know, that cold shoulder he gives you sometimes, and that's good too. It's good to see him. Almost surreal, to tell you the truth, walking out of the clubhouse the other day after he had his good day, and following David Duval again, and it's like the chunky David Duval that I guess Ricky Barnes used to look like back in the day before he grew up taller and filled out, or leaned up anyway.
Did Duval look like that a little bit at Georgia Tech too when he was still in college? And then of course he got in that great shape, in the late 90s, early 2000s. But no doubt it'll be a huge story where David Duval able to win this 109th U.S. Open. Still a long way to go, even though it's Sunday morning. We've still got 36 holes of golf for 16 players in the field, and looking at possibly a Monday finish, perhaps Tuesday, hoping that's not the case with more rain. He is Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. He also contributes to both Golf Channel and NBC. Tim, thank you so much for the time. Happy Father's Day to you, bud.
Thank you, Russ. My kids are back there in Jupiter, and I talked to you before my kids today, Russ. What's that say?
I tell you what, I feel honored. Thank you, as always. Safe travels to you, bud.
All right, Russ. Best to Rooney. Take care.
Thanks. There he is, Tim Rosefort. Good friend of the program joining us here on Golf Exchange.